The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. Then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Christ. Dissenters, casuals, spiritual explorers, seekers, spiritual immigrants. There are many ways to categorize those who are spiritual but not religious, nuns, unchurched, etc., etc. Even greater are those whom we know personally, be they family, friends, or colleagues, or casually, whom we consider to be religiously or spiritually different from us. To many of us within the church, simple questions come to mind. What do they believe? How do they live? Where or with whom are they finding their spiritual nourishment? In her paper entitled "Belief Without Borders: Inside the Minds of the Spiritual but Not Religious," Linda Mercantile speaks about the minds of the spiritual nuns that she encountered in her research. Here's what she asked. Is there a power greater than yourself? What does it mean to be human? Do we need community to flourish spiritually, or is this essentially an individual effort? What, if anything, will happen to humans after death? Let's hear a sample of their answers. "I don't have to believe in some clown in the sky to make my life complete or to give me help. Or universal energy source, that is my divine other. Or I believe that everyone is born good and has the right to see their own self-fulfillment. Or a community is defined as everyone who would believe as I do. There is no sin, certainly no double predestination, even less so organized religion. But in some respects, they, like us, are on a spiritual journey. The key difference? We are within the institution of the church. And I would say, let us not focus on the obstacles, but the opportunities to engage. We must then begin with this simple question: what is meant by spiritual? This generally vague term is just so broad as to include both institutional and non-institutional church. So I want to offer to you a definition that I use. Spirituality is cultivating connection to oneself, to God, and to neighbor. Oneself, to God, and to neighbor. We are on a spiritual journey. And it is Jesus Christ who provides to us both the roadmap and the destination on this journey through his life, death, into the resurrection day. Peter's confession is clearly a spiritual one, which we heard last week, acknowledging Jesus to be the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Peter recognized Jesus Christ as that connection with himself, God, and his ancestors. What Peter had not fully grasped was the kind of journey that he and the disciples were to embark. Spiritual journeys are rarely, if not at all, about spiritual heights. Spiritual journeys are opportunities for self-discovery and cultivating this awareness that there is something greater than us. And this typically requires that our minds and our practices be expanded beyond what we currently know. Every major religion acknowledges this. And we, as believers on the way, are taking our cue from Christ. Our journey is dying and rising, dying of those aspects of the self which divides us from our own self, from God, and from our neighbor. And Jesus is expanding Peter's spiritual journey today as he declares about his own life, his death, and resurrection on the third day. When I last spoke to you about those spiritual habits where we encounter God, I didn't make this part of the journey clear. What makes our daily life a reflection of this way of Christ is how it conforms to dying and rising. For our spirituality of daily life is the spirituality of the cross. Christ, in this first announcement of his crucifixion, shows us the way of dying. Dying to what separates us from ourselves and limits our cultivation of connection with ourselves, God, and our neighbor. Be it how we perceive our time and our work, those deeply rooted emotions of anger, despair, self-loathing, and envy, and prejudice. The habits of our life that reinforce this misguided notion that humanity is but an island, each one for themselves. It is also a death to our desire for power and privilege and prestige. Siblings, the spiritual nuns that are all around us have left religious spaces because so many of those spaces have lagged far behind this spiritual way of dying. Many of us can name that we have left other spiritual communities, other religious communities, for their lack of full inclusion in the life of their communities. The full participation of LGBTQIA folks, people of color, and women. But siblings, let us not look too far as to the source of our dying and the source of the reason why communities have been so narrow-minded. If anyone want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Believers, mainly those with power and privilege, have weaponized these words of Christ and have made our spirituality of dying a spirituality of power against the least of these. Deny thyself became less about cultivating connection and more about separating our bodies from our own sense of self. Crucify your body in all its divine splendor and be ashamed of it. There are many times I heard that when I was Missouri Synod. So instead of having a life-giving cross, Christ again becomes crucified in the bodies of the least and the lowly. What then, siblings, does it mean for us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ? Follow Christ down Shepherd or Gesner or Memorial into the neighborhoods and super neighborhoods of Houston. How do we cultivate connection in this culturally and religiously expansive city. Christ, in taking up his cross for the life of the world, shows us and gives us the way of rising. Rising up to take our cross really comes as a consequence of when we put aside our own desire to accumulate power and privilege and focus rather on living fully for each other. Rising is to cultivate connections that build up true love. The whole scope of Paul's letter to the Romans can be summed up in the first phrase of today's reading. Let love be genuine. And the rest is just a commentary. This is the way of rising. Imagine how your daily life, with all its habits and preoccupations, obligations, and duties, would appear if it was cultivated in this rising, in this kind of connection. Could we love ourselves just as God loves us fully? Can we love our neighbors just as God loves each and every one of us as beloved children? Christ has set you on a spiritual journey to find yourselves just as you have been made and redeemed, with God and your neighbor on a way which knows no end to love. Can you find dying and rising in the practices of our siblings who practice Zen Buddhism, or listen on Fridays to the recitation of the Quran, or hear it in the words of Krishna to Arjuna in the Gita? Does this spiritual journey appear like those who are spiritual but not religious? If we think that spirituality means cultivating our connection to ourself, to God, and to neighbor, the connections of genuine love, then we will find that our dying and rising occurs everywhere. Because Christ is before us and ahead of us, within us and above us and below us. It is through this dying and rising that we shall see this city as a place where our spiritual home abides. O Lord, I love the habitation of the house in which you dwell, the places where your glory abides. Amen.